Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Eric Byrd, whose Eric Byrd Trio will be doing their annual tradition here, holiday tradition here. They perform a Charlie Brown Christmas live at a couple gigs. Let's see, we got Weinberg Center in my hometown of Frederick coming up on the 29th. We got a couple Columbia dates on the 30th. At the Soundry, and then on December 1st, coming down to the Hamilton Live in D.C. December 1st. So thanks so much for joining us, Eric.
Man, this is great. I really appreciate you reaching out, man. Thank you.
Of course. You know, people around the D.C. area, they, you know, when they're looking at the holiday lineup for concert venues, they had to have seen your name and this specific show. Explain how it's set up here. Do we have you guys screen the movie first and then you perform after, right?
Most venues do that, yeah. What we'll be doing that weekend at the Weinberg, at the Soundry, and at the Hamilton is that they actually play the show first. So the classic television show is about 22 minutes long, and then without any break in the action or any kind of intermission or anything like that, the band comes right up on stage. And then we play the entire soundtrack live, right afterward.
All right, let's break them down one at a time then. So let's start with the actual, you know, holiday, the TV special that aired. When was it? Like in like the 60s, I think.
I think it was like 68 or 65, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I remember it just celebrated. I think it celebrated like its anniversary a couple years ago. All right, well, sure. So let's take it one at a time. So we'll get to the concert in a minute, but let's start with the actual Charles Schulz peanuts here.
Sure.
Why do you think that has, you know, continues to resonate over the years? Obviously, you know, the animation has improved over the last several years. Obviously,
a little bit.
Still, yeah, just a little bit. But there's something warm and nostalgic about that. Every year, you know, we get the little tree that barely has any needles
right.
on it. And then, of course, the big Linus speech about that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. What is it? What about the actual thing? You know, why do you think it still lasts?
For me, I think it's just classic. It's just, it's the Wizard of Oz. It's just one of those things where it's just, even if you aren't a huge fan of whatever the medium is, you're aware of it, you know it, you know some of the lines, you know maybe some of the songs, if it applies, you know, it's just classic. It's one of those things that I'm sure Mr. Schulz and that team, they probably didn't even recognize that it was going to be as classic as it was, and yet it just is. And, of course, you know, I'm old enough to remember when that's all we had. So when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have a tremendous amount of competition. And so when it came to cartoons and the holidays and stuff like that, we had Charlie Brown, Halloween, and Thanksgiving, and you only saw those things, once a year. So as you get older and, you know, everything is much more advanced now and animation and all that stuff is much more intense and, you know, and you have much more options. You know, you can pull this stuff up on Netflix or YouTube or whatever anytime you want to, but there's just something about, you know, the simplicity of the story, the simplicity of the characters. I think everybody relates to Charlie Brown in some way, this poor, well-meaning, good kid, but just doesn't seem to quite get what everybody else seems to get. And he's trying to fit in. He's trying to figure out a way to get along with his peers, and he doesn't seem to quite make it on the inner circle. And then they have the big climax, which is, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, what is this thing all about? And then you have his friend come out and read the Christmas story from the Bible, and then it has the happy ending at the end. You know, it's like, it's just that warm and fuzzy thing that I think the season really brings out. So,
absolutely,
it stands the test of time, man. I mean, my kids were born, you know, in a era of, you know, technology and, you know, cable and stuff being able to fit in the palm of your hand, being able to get medium right there in the palm of your hand, and they still love Charlie Brown Christmas every year. So it's just classic. I don't really know. It's just, it's magical and it's classic. It's like the Wizard of Oz. It's, you know, it's, you know, Gone with the Wind. It's Star Wars. It's The Godfather. It's just one of those things where it's just everybody can relate to it in some way.
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but it just does.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, the music we all, they'll even play that on, you know, Christmas radio stations too. Vince
sure,
Guaraldi
yeah.
Trio, they did, you know, there's the little Peanuts theme where the guys are doing that little hilarious, you know, shuffle dance too, where they just turn back and forth
yeah,
on stage. But there's that main theme, of course, and then, which is like the Peanuts theme. And then, of course, also the choral arrangement, the Christmas Time Is Here.
Sure.
Talk about
yeah.
You know, you're the music expert, but what about those make that so special? It's a simple piano, but it's catchy as hell.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's when I was growing up, it was one of my very first introductions into jazz. So I didn't really know that it was jazz music. I just thought it was kind of fun, happy music. And so, you know, it's funny because there's that movie about Mr. Rogers that's out now, and it's the same kind of thing. It's like I just watched Mr. Rogers. I didn't know that, you know, the music and all that stuff was jazz. I just kind of enjoyed the music. And so, you know, the cartoon is really simple. The storytelling is simple. The animation and technology is really simple. And the music is somewhat simple, but there's a lot of depth and beauty to the simplicity of the music. And so as I got older and I became a pianist on my own, you know, you go back to the things that kind of resonated with you when you were a kid, the stuff you grew up with or the stuff that really just kind of turned you on for whatever reason, you know, and the interplay of all three of them, all three of the musicians in that band. And, you know, it's and of course, you know, at Christmas time, you know, my family still does like that kind of hokey thing. You know, all five of us get together, we put the tree in the house, we decorate the tree, and then we're listening to Charlie Brown Christmas. I have it on vinyl, I have it on my iPod, you know, it's just one of those things. And so when we started playing the music, it became a challenge to see if we could, it's a good way to put it, if we could articulate that same level of mastery and artistry with just three instruments and breathe a little bit of new life into it. And I think humbly we've been able to do that to a certain degree. And, you know, the music that we kind of add to the overall lexicon, I think, kind of stands up. It's nowhere near as classic as what the Guaraldi Trio did, but it stands on its own. And, you know, my band has got two of the greatest musicians that I could possibly play with. And so, you know, we're really happy of that marriage, being able to, you know, just be a part of that Charlie Brown Christmas tradition and then also put our own little spin on it.
Absolutely. You mentioned that you think your trio is two of the, you know, best you've been blessed to play with. Dish on them a little bit. You know, so you're the pianist and the vocalist, but tell us about your bassist and your drummer, Alfonso Young, and the bassist is, how do you pronounce
Bhagwan
that? Bhagwan Khalsa?
Yeah. Bhagwan Khalsa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
dish on them. Dish on them really quick, and you know what each of them brings to the table.
Oh, that's easy. Alfonso Young Jr. is a lot like if Bruce Lee, the martial artist, was a drummer, he'd probably be Alfonso Young. he is poetry in motion. He's like water moving. He plays with a ferocity. He is a ferocious drummer. That can play aggressive and really kick you in the butt. And then he can play very beautifully and very supportively as well. He can lead and he can follow, and not many musicians can do that. He is as much of a master of a musician that one can be, I think, and he continues to get better. The three of us have been together 20 years.
Mm.
20 years in 2021, we'll be celebrating 20 years, and you know, there's still times in rehearsal and sound checks. He plays stuff that still blows me away. And that's really special when you've been with somebody for 18 years and they still do and play stuff that still blows you away. And then Bhagwan Khalsa, you know, B, he is, we call him, you know, duct tape. You know, he's the gorilla glue. He keeps it all together. So no matter how far off the rails Al and I go, if he didn't stay at home, it would just sound like a chaotic mess. And he has the incredible musical discipline to just stay rooted. He doesn't speed up. He doesn't slow down. He keeps excellent time. He's harmonically precise. He's rhythmically perfect. And he always has an ear toward arranging. So with all of the records that we've recorded, I think we've recorded something like 6 or 8 records over the years. Maybe it's 6, I don't remember. But of all of our catalogs, you know, he's the one that arranges a lot of that music. He can organize music on the spot. He can hear things right in the moment, like whether we should play this song faster than we did last night, or this should start with a drum solo, or the piano should do this before we did that. And, you know, so he just has a great sense. He has a very high musical acumen. He just has a very high musical intelligence for what swings and what's hip. And so, you know, being in a band with those two has just catapulted everything that we've done into just another level.
For sure. And so you mentioned you guys have been touring, you know, playing together for 20 years, and, you know, you've played with all the greats,
yeah,
from Wynton Marsalis to Charlie Byrd to Randy Brecker, everybody.
Yeah.
So you guys are obviously, you know, you're playing regularly and doing your thing, but when did you say, you know, let's do this Charlie Brown thing every year? You know, how did it come about? Was it just like, you know what, let's, we need a holiday show. You said you had it on vinyl at home. You know, so let's put this together,
yeah,
and make it an annual thing.
You know what? I totally cannot take credit for that at all. It's kind of a long story, but the Reader's Digest kind of 25 words or less version is, you know, we would play Christmas concerts, and we would just do regular Christmas holiday tunes. And every once in a while, I would just throw in one of these songs from Charlie Brown Christmas, you know. And then a very good friend of the band, Sandy Ox, who is now a neighbor of mine. She lives in Lake Linganore. Sandy Ox was
hey,
running.
Hey, I went to Linganore. I went to Linganore High School.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Small world.
Yeah, all right. Well, then offline, we have to talk about a math teacher, because Leslie Byrd is my wife. So,
yeah,
she taught math at
Linganore. It was a while ago.
Time, so.
I was like 2000. Rick Connor, their football coach, was my senior year. Was his first year there was my senior year. So lots of good memories.
Oh,
there. All right,
funny.
I'm sidetracking us.
Thinking around. Well, that's all right. That's all right. So Sandy heard us play, and she said, wow, that's great. You know, we ought to do more of that music and put it on stage. And I said, well, Sandy, that would be fine. But, like, you know, nobody's gonna come and hear me play, like, Charlie Brown Christmas, man. I mean, like, you can buy this stuff, have it in your house. Like, nobody's going to come and see that. And she came up with the whole show. She said, you know, we'll play the movie first, and then you guys come up on stage, you play it, and it'll be great, and then we'll – and I said, okay, but I don't think anybody – and we everywhere we go, we sell this thing out. I mean, it is a sellout show every time we've done it. It has just become – we've run into people who said, I come every year. I've been coming for 15 years. There are people that have said, you know, I bring my grandchildren, my neighbors, my friends, people from my church, my, you know, the people I play cards with. You know, it's like, you know, it's turned into a thing that seniors love. You know, there are high schoolers that come and do like some kind of retro back in the day thing, and they come. And I mean, and then, you know, personally, it's become even more meaningful, because it started with my oldest kid was 7. When he sang Christmas Time Is Here on the record we did. And now I have my 13-year-old and my 11-year-old, and they're now performing with the band. And so my 11-year-old sings Christmas Time Is Here now, and my 13-year-old plays guitar, and he takes the acoustic guitar solo on the song. So it's turned into like this whole family thing, and so it's always great to make music with your family. And so it's all Sandy Ox's fault. I have to blame her. She had the vision to kind of make it a show, and once we started birthing that thing out of the Arts Center in Carroll County, then it's taken us all over the place, and every December we are pretty much jam-packed with doing this show. It's great.
That's awesome. Now, have a actual, you know, chorus on stage with you at the Weinberg or Hamilton? Do you know, like,
we don't,
for
no,
the Christmas time part?
No, we just leave it to the little 11-year-old, my little Quentin Byrd.
That's great.
He handled it all himself, and you know, he thinks he's a singer, which is really important, because you got to think you can sing before you actually sing. So he
believe it.
He thinks he can sing, Yeah, he thinks he can sing, so we're gonna put him through the paces and see if that's true. And he, I think last year was the first year he did it, I think. I can't remember. Maybe the last year. I think last year was the first year he did it. And it was, you know, funny. It was great. You know, he stands right up there. He does his thing. He doesn't get nervous. He's memorized the words. He's, you know, and then the real cat, man, is my 13-year-old. This guy thinks he's Slash or, you know, he's got chops. You know, he's in the Frederick School of Rock, and he's playing a lot of guitar, and so he's becoming a real, real strong musician. You know, he doesn't want to play jazz like his old man, but he wants to be a shredder. So he's up there doing his thing on his acoustic, and it's going really well, man.
Awesome. So we're you know, my wife and I live in Frederick. Are you based in Frederick?
I am. I live right in New Market, and the drummer's in Virginia, and the bass player's in D.C. So we are the DMV.
I love it.
Even
you cover
DC,
it all, and
we cover the waterfront, man. We cover it all.
That's so awesome. All right. Well, you've been more than generous with your time. We'll let you run. But in closing, why should our listeners, if they're hearing this interview, why should they come on out? Maybe they've come seen you guys every year as their annual tradition, or maybe they haven't and they just love Charlie Brown. You know, why should they come out and you know, get in the holiday spirit?
Man, if you love getting all the feels from this season, man, this is the show to see. The Washington Post designated this show as the concert of the season, and it's just become the thing that is really wonderful and beautiful. It's family friendly. Little kids dig it, you know, senior adults dig it, everybody in between. It unites you around this idea that, you know, it is Christmas time. It is something that we can all celebrate and enjoy. It gives you a little bit of a break from the craziness of the world that we live in. And the Weinberg is a beautiful venue. We've never played the Weinberg before, so we want people to come out. And, you know, you can go to ericbirdtrio.com and see all of the venues we're going to be playing. But we'd love to have everybody come out to the Weinberg and celebrate the season with us. The Weinberg will be the first show of this December tour. So we're hoping that everybody comes out. There's still some tickets available. And so, you know, we just hope to see you there.
Awesome. Eric Bird, you've been great. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.